Welcome to Creating Flow, the podcast where I, Joni Francisco, hope to empower women helpers and healers to unblock their energy and unlock their power. We are tackling the tough reality that many in the healing professions often sacrifice their well-being in pursuit of helping others. Not only do I think this is just plain wrong, it ends up draining their vitality and diminishing their ability to serve. I've experienced this struggle firsthand and emerged with the insights and the strategies to break this cycle. That's why each week we explore practical methods not only to replenish your energy, but also to cultivate abundance in your life. You'll gain actionable steps to fill your cup first, ensuring that you can overflow with energy and serve others without burning out. And on today's episode, we have a special guest, Jan Reed. And as a certified life mastery coach, she can help you design and manifest a life that's in harmony with your purpose. As a life coach and a speaker, she offers inspiring workshops as well as transformational in-depth coaching programs that help clients achieve new heights of success, meaning, and spiritual aliveness, including helping people who, after a big loss, get stuck in emotional overwhelm. And today, Jan and I are going to be jumping into grief and looking at it in a different way. So what if grief is the transformational experience that you've been waiting for? Leveraging grief, universal law, and tools, and the strategy to move out of grief and into the life you're living will be discussed on this episode today. But first, I invite you to download your cheat sheet on universal laws in the Abundance and Flow community on School. You will also find other free, awesome AF trainings where we are building a community of other helpers ready to have more abundance and flow in their lives. Let's journey together towards freedom in life, health, and business. The link to join is in the show notes, and I hope to see you there. I'd like to welcome Jan here today. We're going to dive into talking about grief and moving through it with universal law and many other strategies that we have too. Jan, she has so many interesting layers, and as you heard in the intro, and including being a student of universal law. And we're really going to dive in on how you get to choose your own path through grief, and maybe some shocking tools and some things that will at first take your breath away, but as you adopt it and learn that you get to choose how you move through life, I think these strategies will help you think about how you can do it differently and how you can do it your way.
Yeah.
So welcome, Jan.
I agree. Thank you.
Yeah.
Great to be here. Yeah. Well, you know, the first thing too, sometimes grief and loss can be so many things, and you grieve over many things, but mine right now, it pertains to more like a loss of a life of somebody who you're close to or have been close to. And I did have that within a month and a half. I lost my mother and my husband. And just that journey itself was an interesting one, because I'd never had big losses like that in my life, not so sudden and so surprising. And sometimes that's what the shock is. And, you know, the first thing was, it was even harder because my husband took his life. And I found that really a hard thing to work through too. You know, I was going through the what ifs and the sadness and the grief, and, you know, even dealing with it with my own children and grandchildren. So I really decided to do a little deep dive into what this is all about, because it was really hard staying in grief and sadness and being in that place so much. How did you climb out? How do you get out of that? And that was kind of the thing that I really was like, I can do this. And the one thing I looked at was, I can still be sad and grieving, but still find joy and happiness and even some peace in this world. And that was, and when I started changing how I thought about it, that, yeah, I'm going to be sad and I'm going to grieve for a while. I know that's part of the process. I'm human, and that side of me certainly was like that. But I was very fortunate that I found really great help. I found a couple life coaches who helped me through this, and some chaplains, even just in talking with my own daughter who found my husband, which was very traumatizing for her. But it's interesting. It's been over a year and a half, a little over a year now, and we're both doing pretty well. And I think helping ourselves through it, knowing what we know with coaching, has made such a difference. Because, you know, the first thing was shock. You're just in shock. You're going to be there. It's going to happen, especially when it's a big surprise like this, when it's an accident or sudden. And that was the part that denial. Yeah, I was in denial, not that he had passed, but that he had actually taken his life. So that's one of the things that you go through. It's just part of it. The pain of it, it was there, definitely, of course.
Yeah.
But I found a way to lighten my life and still knowing that my husband was there and my mom for that matter. And just my belief in that has helped me a lot. So, yeah.
Yeah, I think you moved through grief amazingly well. And, you know, through the groups we're in and things, I was able to witness you move, you know, through it in a way that I guess I would say empowered, right? Like you were empowered through the grief process. That's how I would describe the way you moved through it. And I'm just going to back up a tiny bit on grief for the listeners. And I loved how you mentioned a bit about how grief can be big or small, right? And I really think that we actually have moments of grief, most of us, throughout our life, every day, right? And so that's why it's so important that we look at this. It's after loss, yes. We know if someone that's close to us, you know, is now passed, we definitely have this loss, right? Or if they're like a huge thing, like a house fire, we have those things, but we have these incremental pieces of grief every day that end up can be big and weigh on us if we don't have a way to move through it, right?
Absolutely.
And yeah, and I'm sure a lot of people have heard of, you know, the seven steps of grief. And the important part about those steps is that we know that we sometimes don't go through them in order, right? They come and go. And we get to, again, choose. We get to make empowered choices how we want to feel even when we're in those stages. And so if we're able to, you know, take on that observer lens a little bit, we can then have space, right, to make a different choice and to look at it that way. I think another really important thing about grief that people often don't understand is the piece about we're not just mourning that person, right, or that instance. We're mourning the dreams and the hopes and this, like, the life that we had built around that. So if it's a life or if it's like your house burns down, things like that. Or if you, a lot of us are moving through life in this flight or fight or freeze kind of state, and we'll wake up 5 years later and be like, oh my gosh, where'd that time go? And so I think we're mourning like disappointment, right? And that our life isn't where we thought it would be. And that can, like, when you wake up like that, it can really be intense, right?
Yes. Well, two, you know, the one thing that I have learned, you know, through my training and coaching, is, you know, I have this one section I do. It's called, you know, like the dark night of the soul. And I've even done a little teaching on that prior to all this happening. And when you sit and go through grief, I saw this, how do I want to put it, eventually saw it as an opportunity. Because, you know, during that time, it's all disorder, it's chaos. And, it's usually seen as a negative. That's bad. It seems horrible. It's really bad. But then I also saw it as a journey. And, you know, I didn't like sometimes what part of the journey I was in because it's really hard. But I thought, okay, the other piece, another thing that I often say to myself is this too shall pass, because I can't sit in that grief forever. It's not a happy place. Do I miss my mom and my husband? Yes, greatly. And some days I'm just like, well, where are you, hon? I really need you to fix the smoke detector. You know, I mean, little things like that, that just he used to do. And now I'm able to do them. And I had to work my way through that. And so I started seeing it as a journey. And just because it seems bad doesn't mean it is. Because when I think of the growth that I have gained through this and looking through the good stuff, there's been a lot of things that have helped me. And it was just interesting. I was just talking to my daughter about that just the other day, about how I get to decide every single day when I wake up, you know, so sometimes you wake up and you're like, oh, and then I go, well, wait a minute, I'm going to have a good day. I get to choose that. And when I started understanding I got to choose it and how I'm going to be that day, how I'm going to feel that day, how I'm going to work through the day, knowing that those moments of sheer sadness or grief can hit me, I don't have to stay there very long. I'm not going to pitch a tent and sit in that place very long. So I just learned how to, I guess the word is maybe befriend my sadness, my fear, my all the stuff that kind of goes with that, the grief. Because I knew that if I stayed there, I wasn't going to be in a good place. And what I found interesting is when I would step out of sadness and grief and go into joy, that's when, and I know this kind of sounds surprising, but that's when my husband would show up or my mom. I could feel their presence. I could hear them. There were times when I could actually hear my husband, and it gave me a sense of peace because I know he's not gone. He's just not here right now. And that's okay. I still can have a relationship with him. And there's days when I can just feel this wave of just warmth and love because I'm allowing it. I've decided I'm okay. And he lets me know, you know, he keeps telling me I'm safe and I'm protected and that I need to keep moving on. And I'm like, all right, I can do that. And it makes me, I don't know, I just know that I can find that sense of peace. And I still have so much to live for. I have grandchildren, two little ones, right, 4 and 10 months. And then I have a grandson who's 15 years, and he's delightful. So I look for the good. I look for the joy.
Yeah. And I would just pull out a couple things there that you do so effortlessly that I'm going to pull out just for the audience and the listeners so they can just really hear it. I love the piece about, it's really about the unknown, right? And is what I heard a lot about that, where you wake up in that space. It's the unknown. It's the fear of not knowing what that day is going to bring. And I find, as much as we are, even in the healthiest relationships, you know, if we're talking about the loss of a person, especially, like, we have developed as a collective this sort of codependence, right? And even like it's different now. So when I say we've developed it, we needed tribe, we needed other people to survive before now, you know, physically, and to, you know, yeah, the protectors of the tribe, you've got other people, and we depended on everybody to do their job. And I feel like as we have evolved from that, that there's some dependence, that codependence that we've created, especially with partners or people we've lived a lot of time with, that we don't even realize until, you know, they have passed. And you mentioned, you know, just like, did you say fire alarms? I think so.
Yes, smoke alarms. Right?
Yeah, like, you know, things. Like small things, but there's big things like that too, right? And so we've mm-hmm. just created this dependence unintentionally, and friendships, right? We have, I think many people have their partner as their primary friend right now, where when we lived in a tribe, we would have a lot more of that just available all the time.
Good point.
Yes. And this leads to that emotional codependence, right? And that task codependence where we don't really know how to do some of the things. But I love that we then get to make a choice and we get to learn new things, right? But that's from that empowered piece, which is especially for people that haven't done some of this work before, sometimes that's a really hard place to find, right? All right. So when we're talking about being in grief, I think a lot of people, you alluded to this earlier, but I think a lot of people will think about the sadness piece, right? And being stuck there. But there's many different phases of grief, if you want to say that, that different people feel at different times. And so what are some of the things, the signs you see in people that are stuck in grief or in grief? They don't even have to be stuck there, but they're in grief and they might not know it.
Yeah, I think a lot of the times I do see that they are aware of it. There are some people that have a hard time getting out of that story, the loop, how they're feeling, how do I want to say it? They're afraid of letting go of that person or whatever the thing may be that their loss is. And I do see that when they keep clinging to that because they miss them so much, they have a hard time letting go. And I understand that because you don't want to forget that person. You want to keep them in your heart. And that's where I keep my husband, you know, plus pictures of him. And I see him in my grandchildren and my children. So I guess it's partly that too, but you get that pain. You feel guilty. The what ifs are where it really got me. I kept asking those questions like, well, what if I'd have done this? And how did I not know that something like this was going on in his head? You know, we were married, we were living together. How did I not know? And that was the hard part. I asked a lot of questions about it myself, and I had to let that go too, because I don't know if I'll ever know. I'm not really sure. And, you know, just talking to other people, was there anger? I did have some, you know, like, why the hell would you do that, hon? You know, why would you leave us? You know, that abandonment feeling, that kind of sadness. I don't know if I really went into any kind of depression, you know, but some people do, because that's about as low as you can go as far as on that emotion scale. And it's a tough place to sit. Is that a place you want to be? And that's a question I had to ask myself. So, yeah. And then I have to say, it's kind of interesting, you know, when you cut your finger or something that hurts, but this is a whole different kind of hurt. It's kind of goes through your whole body. And I understand that. And it was something I thought, I can't live with that. And that's when I made some decisions to change how I thought about it. And just something that went through my head too is none of us gets out of here alive. And when I say that, a lot of people kind of smile like, well, yeah, that's true. And why are we surprised? You know, sometimes mostly the shock. I didn't expect him to leave me this early. And my mother either. She was still a very healthy, vital woman. But, you know, almost any kind of loss, you know, even when I like, once again, lose my phone or lose my whatever it may be, there's that franticness and you just feel it in your body. And you're kind of in a low place because you're looking for it. So I don't know if that's helpful, but, you know, just recognizing where you are on that scale, if you want to look at the loss scale or the grieving scale, I didn't think about it too much when I was going through it, but I was aware that I probably hit on every single one of them. The one that brought me the greatest relief was accepting it and knowing that this was my new could live that kind of life. I was okay with it. And some people than others, but it was a choice I made every single day. Like I said, I just was like, I have to, I don't want to live with that pain, that grief, that anger, that sadness. So it was a choice. And I don't know if that's helpful or not, but that helped me. And yeah. And some of the tools I used to I think changing how I think about it. I do a switch. I tap into that. And I just remember the good things. I had to get rid of some of the bad.
Yeah. And I think people just getting that clear for what that means. Like I see people in anger a lot, right? Again, they're angry at the loss of a person, but anger happens with, I think that's an underlying piece of grief to know if we have some grief building up when we're not talking about loss, right? Or little losses along the way, or little things we're grieving as we shift beliefs, even as we're doing healing journey work, right? Like we have to grieve our old life and the life we thought we would have. And I think anger often pops up. I also think denial pops up a ton with people that are grieving. And, you know, there's this term going around, which I think it happens to most of us because we haven't felt safe exploring our emotions, right? But it's that spiritual bypassing. And so either we won't give ourselves the permission to feel, right? So we don't feel it very deeply. And then we go on with life saying, I'm fine, 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 until we're not fine. And then that leads, I think, to the depression, right? That low mood, that inability to get out of bed, the not being able to focus on things, like, and then that pops up for people. So those are some things people can look at when they are moving through grief, but maybe they don't even know they're moving through grief, right? And they can look and see how, what's the underlying under that anger, right? Like, what's driving that frustration? What's driving the denial?
I think that's a really good
point. Yeah, and you mentioned. And
I'd rather be angry than depressed. You know, if you're looking at the scale, the emotional scale, depression is about as low as you can go, and anger is higher up on that scale. So that might be seeing that as a good thing, that you're moving up that emotional ladder, if you want to call it that, and moving towards acceptance and gaining that love and joy as you move through that. You know, it's part of the journey. And if you see it as a journey, and that's what I chose to do, it made a lot of difference for me. And when I use my program that I use for coaching, you know, it kind of starts about with what would I really love for my life right now? Now that it's changed, I ask myself that question. What would I love? You know, yes, I'm angry. I've been through a lot, but what good things have crept into this? And when I discovered that I could do that and actually think that way, it was a much better way to work through things. But that's the first question I usually ask is, what would you love for your life right now? Kind of life you have.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that's, you know, I think that's beautiful. And I think that's one of the reasons people do get stuck is because they think they have to go through this process like they saw someone else go through it, right? And they don't give themselves permission to do it the way they want to or the way that feels good for them. And so, and also like on how people get stuck, it's really like, I think they'll just recap for people, it's not feeling the feelings, right? So not giving yourself permission to feel the feelings, feeling and acting how other people think you should. And also, I think people don't realize that grief, again, we talked about different stages, but I think people expect it to go step 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, or they expect like, I'll have this set 90 days of grief, right? And grief really comes and goes. It doesn't, it's not like 90 days and you're out of it, right? I mean, there's things that get better and easier with time, but I feel like if you can give yourself permission to have those waves, maybe even for years, and to feel them, right? It's really the permission to not resist what you're feeling and to actually feel it really deeply, and then make it, you know, then you have a choice, right? Because you're able to get clarity on what's happening.
I think too, how we view death is also the hard part, you know, because like I said before, we see it as this person being gone. They're not there physically. But when you kind of go back to that other piece there, I used to, you know, dread the thought of that, but I see death now as beautiful. It's something that can be good. And it doesn't have to be bad. And you're back with source. You're back with love and all those wonderful things. And that's what I have gotten from my few visits from my husband is, you know, and people might go, what do you mean? You know, because I know not everybody understands that. But, you know, I'm just going to tell a real quick story here that my garage door wouldn't go down shortly after my husband had passed. And I was like, oh, gee, I wish Nick was here so I could do it. So I managed to get it down. That night I went to bed. And as I was laying in bed, I thought, okay, tomorrow I got to ask this guy to help me with the garage door. So I woke up in the morning and my first thought was, that dang garage door. I want to be able to get that to go down. And all of a sudden, that's when I felt this huge wave of love. And this voice came, and it wasn't me. And it said, check the sensors. And it sounded just like my husband. I knew it was him. I could feel him. And I just started laughing because I thought, well, here you are still fixing everything and taking care of me. And it gave me such a sense of peace to know that he was still there. And that was because at that time I must have been in a high vibration, and I do talk about that. Just being in a good place helps you have a better connection with someone who's passed, and it's very reassuring and lovely. And I'm glad I have that connection. So it's not gone; he's just everywhere with me.
Yeah, and you know, that's a piece of story, right? We were talking about people get stuck because they're in the story. Yeah. But that's a piece of story you were able to change, right? So And I don't know if that was a belief shift for you and something you got to explore through having this coaching program that you had completed and just being in the circles of other people healing, if it was a new belief shift or not. But that is one of the things that help people get unstuck, right? And we talk about the other places that people really, to help them get unstuck, is this principle that Jan alluded to a little bit earlier, is looking at grief differently. And so if we're able to look at grief differently, like perhaps, as Jan was alluding to earlier, this invitation to heal, right? We can heal these aspects of our being, our emotional, spiritual, you know, even our physical being. Sometimes those things will come up from our beliefs, our past experiences, our emotions, our traumas that we're holding on to, even before the loss, right? And so if we look at it as an invitation, like that rawness and that observation point to come in and be like, okay, well, what else can I choose? Or what else can I do? Or what is available to me? Then we can move through it a little differently. And some of the things that I really believe that are helpful for people to move through grief and that we start to lose as we move into that grief cycle is we start to lose connection, right? We start to lose connection with ourselves. We start to lose connection with source or God, the universe, wherever your word for that bigger power is, and other people. We withdraw lots of times. And so this will actually keep us stuck in the grief. And so if we're able to find those connections again, especially with ourself and with source, I think it gives us that increased vibration that you were talking about to be able to move through and take another step, look through it a little bit differently, right? And I know you have a four-pronged way of moving people through everything, but also grief of that, that the thinking and change your thinking, change your feeling, change your action, you get a different mm-hmm. result, right? Yep. And part of that is really the thinking is the beliefs, right? And I talk about a lot about beliefs in many of my episodes, and I've been talking through on universal law with people and going through each of the laws. And so I think this is where one place that we can really look at some of the universal laws and how it shifts our belief. And for me, that's what happened when I started practicing or studying universal law and then practicing it, was it brought me back to some of those spiritual guidelines yeah. that I was missing and didn't even realize it, that it helped me with my reconnection to myself and to source and to other people mm-hmm. really. And when I think about grief, and especially in loss and like the fear that we get of being alone, right? I think that happens a lot. It triggers that fear of being alone. And if we can really lean on the law of one, then we can see that we're never really alone.
Right.
Right. Because yep. we all share these energetic patterns with source, with ourselves, in between each other, and in between, especially if we're looking at a person that has left this physical world, we never can lose that connection.
Right. They're still with us.
Yeah. And I know that's something that you mentioned, leaning on hard. Mm-hmm. And some of the things I have people do for that is really, like I call it tea time, but it can be wherever people used to enjoy, right? And especially at first, I think there's such a strong fear of that, forgetting them or not being able to connect with them. So if we intentionally set a time, mm-hmm. you know, it's once a week, once a day, whatever the person needs, where they actually just sit down,
yeah.
right? And they have a conversation with the person that they have lost. Yeah. I think that really helps bring them into connection.
I agree, because I have found that does help. And also, you know, just finding someone who is willing to listen is also a big piece of that, and maybe helping you guide you through those steps that you're going through. Because, you know, I remember someone saying they're not coming back. And I was like, yeah, you know, sometimes you might know that, but inside you don't believe it. And yeah. when you get to that point where it's like, okay, now what? You know, what's my next step? And I think it's just being open to that, learning to just really love who you are and discovering who you are. I think that plays a big role in this too, because if there's anything that's come from this is the discovery for me about how strong I really am. And I have to say, I don't like sitting in a victim role. And I felt like sometimes I felt like that victim, especially when people would look at me with that look of, were you? Because, you know, there were times when I felt that way, but I had to get through that. Yeah, poor me. Look what happened. But I couldn't stay there forever either. And it's just knowing that. So the tool that I would use is, you know, like I said, what do I not want and what do I want? You know, what am I longing for now? What am I discontented about in this position? And when you know what you don't want, it helps you determine what you do want. And that's the one thing that really helped me too, is what do I want now? What do I want in my life? Who do I want to be? Who do I get to be? What's next for me? Just asking those questions, looking at possibilities, and still finding ways to keep the memory going, celebrating, you know, celebrating my mom, celebrating my husband. I think a lot of that helps too. But I think the one thing I said one time is, I'm celebrating my husband's life by continuing to live my own. And when I said that to myself, it felt really good. And other people have even said something to me about that. I had posted it on my Facebook page and I just said that. And they're like, oh my gosh, I never thought of it that way. And I thought, yeah, if I stop living, if I stop doing what I would love, then I'm kind of in the same place he is. I'm not moving on. I'm not moving forward. I'm done. And I don't want to be there.
Yeah.
There's a lot of life.
Yeah. Yeah. And that, if we bring this back to universal law, that's, you know, it's really cause and effect,
absolutely,
right? And the 100% responsibility. Mm-hmm. And so once we can see that, and if we can learn this before grief, it would be even better, right? Sometimes it really helps us hit home on that empowerment piece of being able to take 100% responsibility for our life and every parts of our life. I know you as a life coach and as how I work, we really want our clients to have the things they want in all the different mm-hmm. areas, right? We want them to have relationships, financial, like emotional freedom. Mm-hmm. We want them to experience the joy, the pleasure, do the things that they want to do, have the career that they want to mm-hmm. have. And that requires you to take 100% responsibility and make those choices that are in alignment with what you want. Yep. And we do that if we want a different effect, right? We have to put another cause in,
absolutely,
in order to experience it. And so I did a whole episode on that. So if anybody's interested, you can go back and check out the law of cause and effect as well and really dive into that to see how you can leverage yeah. that to move through anything, but to also move through grief, but also just to get a different effect, have your life look different because you are 100% responsible for absolutely. What you're seeing outside in your life. And sometimes that's hard to swallow, yep. right?
that was a big bite there for me. So, you know, the one thing too, that there's two ways to live. You can live by design or you can live by default. And you can just let things happen to you, or you can help design how you'd like your life to be. And that's when that's that decision making that you do every time. And that's one thing too, that I help people through. As you're going through this grief and through the sadness, we start talking about, well, like I said, what would you love and how would you like to design your life? What are you looking for? What would be a way to, you know, I like to use the word fun because sometimes we forget about that, and you can still have fun even when you're sad. Sometimes it takes away the sad, takes away the grief. And that's why I think, what is something that you would love? As soon as you put that out there, you're asking a different question instead of what do I want? What would I love is a huge piece. And then you get to design that life. You get to do that. And once you know what you want, then the rest will start falling into place. And there's some steps that we can take as I work through my own program that have really helped some of my clients who have gone through this journey also. And yeah, they still are sad. I get it. But not all the time. And they're looking for the fun and the joy. So that's where I'm coming from there. Yeah.
It's a lot of that permission piece, right? Again, it's like permission to do it your way, permission to have the life you want, even though XYZ has happened. And whether we're in grief or a different kind of emotion, giving ourselves permission to feel, like really feel it, giving ourselves permission to then also not stay in that feeling. So like often what I see with clients, if we give ourselves permission and have someone that holds space for you, a coach or a loved one, like mm-hmm. you're mentioning, you can really get what's underneath of why you're feeling that, mm-hmm. right? And underneath a lot of feelings is a belief, again, talking about belief shifting. And I think a lot of times people are feeling things because that's the way they've just seen it done before. And then they take that on as a constructed belief, right? I find this a lot in people that are in like breakups, right? And they think that they have to be a certain way. They got to go eat their quart of ice cream and watch sappy rom-com movies, which there's some, get me wrong, there's healing there, right? Because you're able to, like, some people need that to elicit their feelings, mm-hmm. right? To be able to feel them, have permission to cry, things like that. But also, you could not be destroyed by it. Mm-hmm. If you go back into your faith, right, that we're all connected, that life is always working out in our favor, even when it's so super hard to see it.
Yes.
And we can change those beliefs because most of the time people don't have that belief unless they've been through some kind of coaching program or self-help kind of program, because we're just not taught that really, frankly.
You get so stuck, you know, and the one thing, too, that I always make a point of is I'm not a therapist. I'm a life coach. And I look more at how you would like your life to be instead of, you know, maybe digging in the past a lot. You know, it's okay to go there, but you don't want to set up camp there. Like I said, it's okay to tap into that because that's where you learn. That's gotten you to where you are right now. And when you realize that and that you can design your life, or you can make those choices, I think, wow, that is power. And I want people to learn to tap into that power within, because that's where it all is. And that's that one. And that's where all the answers are. So that's another piece that I guide them through as we go through our journey, because it is a journey. This whole life is. But everything has led us to where we are right now. And being
And we can't change it, right? Because if it should have been different, it would have been. I always say that. And I have to remind myself, because there's lots of times I will sit and spin in there about, well, if I did this or if I did that. And I think people in grief do that a lot too. And so if we just have to know that, like, these contracts that we've signed up for, you know, are predetermined, if you want, it doesn't take away our free will, but we have this road, this journey that we've said we would do in this lifetime on our time on earth. And the players in it have agreed.
Yeah.
And so even when lives are ended for what we would call prematurely, or breakups, or your house burns down, or, you know, I don't know why that one keeps coming up. I hope that's not all. I'm going to like knock on some wood, but
you're not that into life.
Yeah. Or like, I loved my car and last year I totaled it. Right. And it had many years in it, you know, but it's just, it had to happen for some reason. It moved energy. It changed energy, put me in a different car. Maybe it saved my life. Right? Like maybe I needed this other car to do something. Yeah. I don't know. But so we just can't, we're not in control of all of the how, right? But we get to control our thoughts. Mm-hmm. And that's why it's so important when we're looking at moving through something that we are able to change the way we think, to change the way we feel, to take a different action and have a different result. Right. And that's really what it's about. Right. And that's like, that's the crux of most coaching programs, is if we can get people to look without judgment at what they're thinking and what they're feeling, and we can put a new input there, then we can take new inspired action, because we're not stuck in the old.
Right.
And then we can have a completely different result with our life. And all we have to do is shift one degree, right? And that's why I try to also tell people, we try to do it all again, all the time, right? And so if you just shift one degree, you know, you have a total different trajectory than you would have ended up on.
It's very interesting.
And I
think too, we're not always aware that what we're thinking is causing what we're feeling, and using the feelings as that clue, that cue of where you're at. And I call it notice what you're noticing, because when you start to feel kind of something, it's like, okay, when you take action, and you're not feeling good about it, and you're in that lower vibration or you're negative, you're going to get a very different result. And your answer for that action is not going to work as well for you. So if you can think about it and go, okay, I'm not feeling really good right now. This might not be a good time to make a decision about this to get the results that I want. And we are so often trying to figure it out ourselves by the conditions around us, instead of, like you said, letting go of the how. And that's sometimes very hard to do because we are so used to, well, I'm a hard worker and I can get this done. And we've been told to do this. And in this case, we can, like I said, go back to our thinking and go, okay, what's another way to think about this? How can I reframe it in a more positive way so that my feelings are better? And then I can take a more positive action and my results will turn out much better. But then you're getting the results and the action step from a higher power instead of trying to figure it out yourself, because that doesn't usually work. That's what I've learned.
Yeah. And it really makes me think about how sneaky, I always call it, our subconscious and or our unconscious thoughts are. Yeah. Pretty sneaky.
But it can be.
They are designed as a shortcut, mm-hmm. right? And that's what's cool when you get to learn about how the brain works and how our behavior works. You get to interrupt that. Mm-hmm. You know, it's by design from source, however you think that mm-hmm. happens, but that we take a lot of shortcuts so that we don't have to remember, like, okay, when I brush my teeth, I have to unscrew the cap. I have to squeeze with this much pressure. I have to put it right on the toothbrush. I got to turn the water on. I got to, you know, if we had to do our whole day like that, we'd never get anywhere. And so our brain takes those experiences, makes a shortcut. But when we are small and we take those shortcuts, we don't have all the information. And many of us go through life, you know, looking through that lens of that 6-year-old. Mm-hmm. And it's the same for grief. It's the same for anything you're trying to move through. Yes. If you are stuck or you have a result that you are not happy with, right, we have to interrupt it at the thinking.
Yeah, that's where it starts. And knowing that can make all the difference, because if you don't like your results, go right back to that thinking and change. And you can change it. You know, is it easy right away? Maybe not. But sometimes thinking in another direction, or even thinking something more positive about anything, can help you with that feeling so you can take a better action. And it can be a tough lesson.
Yeah. And I love too, like the piece when we're talking about thinking, we may even be using a word that people aren't familiar with, as I know you do this as well, but we connect in, like if you can connect into source mm-hmm. when you are thinking, right? Instead of your ego, which is where those unconscious thoughts and those beliefs that are trying to keep us safe, really.
They,
I mean, there's
so.
Reason for them, right? It's really just to keep us safe. But safe from what, really? And that's fear, and that's unknown, and that is looking like a fool, that is not belonging. You know, that's what ego keeps us safe from, when in reality, it's keeping us very uncomfortable. And so if you even redefine what thinking means, that's going to help a lot, because if we have to first observe and from a place of non-judgment and no shame, no guilt, and just be like, oh, this is where I am. And you said that. You said drop in and be able to then incorporate a new belief. And that's what we mean by thinking, is that we're able to drop in. Remember, we wanted that new belief because we wanted that new result.
Right.
Right. And then we can feel differently, and then we can take a different action and have a different result.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah. Where was it? I can't even remember where I heard it, but a belief is a thought you keep thinking. And so if it keeps running that same thought, you're going to have that same belief, and it's changing those beliefs by changing your thinking too. And when I heard that, I was like, oh, well, that makes sense. Now I get it. You know, it really made a lot of sense to me that if I keep believing this and I keep thinking that way, then I'm going to keep getting the same results. I thought that was interesting.
Yeah. And all of this requires us to be in a space that we're in that, you know, rest and digest space. We can't be looking at this in that fight or flight. And so it's really giving yourself permission to slow down, right? And to be the observer, scheduling time to work through this, whether you're doing it alone, do it yourself program, or you're taking listening to podcasts or reading books, or if you get a coach that can kind of help you speed it up because they've been through it before. They've seen other clients like you, and they have most of them been through it themselves.
Yeah.
And so they can help not only be an observer, because that's a really hard job to do when we're in our own thinking. Yes. And so they can help see where you're stuck, and they can help you really have a new perspective on where it's at, and then help you work through that piece so that you can change your mindset.
Yes.
And I think that's where having a coach can really come in and be helpful.
I agree.
In a place where you're stuck.
Well, just to, you know, asking the right questions so that they're tapping into that part of themselves, that they're getting the answers. I'm not giving them the answers, but they're getting the answers. And I'm like, okay, that's where the difference is. And sometimes you see that aha moment. You know, I was just working with a client this morning, and she was talking about something, and I just asked her a question, kind of turned things around, and she just went, oh, you know, it was like she found her own answer. And when she repeated back to me what she got from it, I was like, bingo, you know, that's what I look for, is people to own it, tap into that one. Yeah. And that's the beauty of it. And it, you know, even when I was a elementary teacher, it was those aha moments that made teaching so fun. And it works the same way with coaching. You know, it's like, wow, look what you discovered. Look what you get to do. Look at the tools you have to move in the direction you always want to go. Yeah. And you can do that with grief. You don't have to sit in grief forever. It's going to happen. It's going to show up. It's going to be there. But now you know how to handle it. You know how to take care of that. And I think that's what's helped me and saved me to get through something that seemed like one of the worst things that had ever happened in my life. And I had to just turn that around and think about it differently. And I agree. I think it's how you think about it and noticing it and tapping into the power within. And that's what I get to help people do, because the answer's within them. It really is. They just have to know that and open up to it. Because when you were talking about fight or flight, as soon as you do that, that shuts off everything. That prefrontal cortex just goes. And so you're not going to make great decisions other than to run or, you know, freeze or fight. And that's not always a good action. At least that's what I've discovered. So.
Right. Yeah. It's one of those evolution things, like I was talking about the codependency, right? Like, it is so necessary when we need it, but we have evolved to where we're not being chased by tigers most of the time, yet most of the time we think we are, because it's our belief system has changed, and we've adopted all of these beliefs that that are not very regulating for our nervous system. And I think that control is a big one, right? Like, oh, if I just put on my big girl panties, I can move through this, when that's not always the case, because there's pieces of letting happen and space that needs to be held, and tools and strategies that will really help people through and actually heal instead of just being stuck to deal with it at a different time.
Yeah.
And I think we see that a lot. Collectively, we see people just break down, right? And those are the people that didn't have the tools, didn't have the resources, didn't have the space, and didn't have give themselves permission to look at this in a different way. So if I were to leave people with anything, I would really say it's that empowerment piece, right? You are 100% responsible for your life. And that starts with how you think and how you feel. And even in the worst times, the times we think are the very worst, that is when it's important that we lean on these strategies. And again, you know, kind of back to universal law, like, it is both and, universe. It's not either or. And so we can have two things happening within moments of each other. We can be in a fit of laughter over something and in the next second be in complete and utter despair. And we can feel both those things, but we get to choose where we want to stay. And I think Jan does this beautifully, and she knows how to move people through that so seamlessly, really, by connecting, she says, to your own intuition, but it's also her intuition and source, right? Like all of those things have to come together and move people through in a session. And so if you're really interested in diving deeper into this, you can check the show notes for the link and you can get on her calendar for a complimentary free consultation. Yeah. And see if you're a good fit to work together through wherever you're stuck. And especially, she's bringing a lot of insight into that grief and loss spectrum, but she does across the lifespan. And that's important to her as well, as really see that, I use the word balance for lack of a better term, but it's being able to identify all the aspects of your life and where you want to be in them. Yeah. And being able to have that fun and joy and pleasure and not be stuck in the things that are not bringing that to you.
Absolutely. Thank you.
So thanks so much, Jan. Okay. Appreciated the conversation and such great tips for people. Yeah. And for the listeners, again, I've mentioned this before, as this is still part of the Universal Law series, I just cannot bring to you how diving into Universal Law for me really brought back my connection and was enabled for me to reconnect spiritually with myself and with Source. And it also just really gave me permission in a new way of thinking. And that really allowed me to show up in my life and my business in a different way. I was able to expand my thoughts on what I believe to be true and opened up the space of what else is available. And I think Jan and I have really covered that on grief for you today, and just really believe that that's true for everyone. Mm-hmm. And it is available, you know, to everyone too.
It is.
And I know this is why Jan's a forever student and I'm a forever student, is learning these tips and tools and strategies, whether we get them downloaded because we're connected spiritually or if we're learning them from other people that have done the same before us. But we get to heal our bodies, we get to heal our businesses, we get to heal our lives. And this includes, you know, the relationships. And that's why I really want to bring to you listeners. And I really just want you to know that there are people in your court holding space for you, and that you get to really have the life that you want. So I really, really appreciate, I say it every week, but I do, of you taking the time to listen. And I am cheering you on 100% as you take action in reclaiming your energy. So much love and light to you until next week.
So amazing. You've reached the end of another episode of Creating Flow. And I want you to know I appreciate your presence and to remind you, knowledge is powerful, but taking action is transformative. I invite you to take the next step to activate your full potential today by scheduling a complimentary 15-minute session with me. A no-obligation chat to identify the messages your body is sending you and how I can not only help you understand these messages, but teach you how to heal your body in order to have an abundance of health and energy in your life and business. Visit the link in the show notes to book a call, and I'll see you next week.